Good evening, those of you who exist within the universal nexus of transdimensional 8972. It's almost 10 o'clock on Friday night. What the fuck are you up to? It's October the 11th, 2019. If you take 3 sixes and add them together, you get 18. If you take the 18 and you add it to 2001, you get 2019. Numerology is probably dangerous, problematic, completely non-scientific, irrational, and I wouldn't suggest you get into it. Yeah, happy Friday. You know, I got a message from my nephew today. If you're not aware, my nephew is serving in the United States Navy, but as I refer to it, the Queensley Navy. And actually, it turns out that's what they call it too, those naval fucks. You see, Uncle Dan was in the army a long time ago. Time before the Bene Gesserit freaks of Glimptus 89. Time before the Doric Wars and the wars between the Cane Apes. But I got a message. Now, it's a weird, full disclosure, it's a weird message. It was sent to me, Glimbus 12, if you don't know who Glimbus is a time-traveling toaster. A time-traveling toaster from sometime 80 years in the future that, yeah, bothers me periodically, kind of like Beans, the French Bulldog. Needless to say, I got this message, but it's not in his voice. It's in a electronic voice. It doesn't really sound like him, except for the language. The language kind of sounds like him. So I'm going to play you the message, and then we'll talk about it, okay?
Dear Uncle Dan, this is your nephew. Oh, how you can't imagine what has transpired since I left for the Queensley Navy. It's amazingly horrific, Uncle Dan. Fuck, Uncle Dan. You were right. I was tested when I arrived at the Queensley Naval Base. Testing went great. Too great. I did too well, Uncle Dan. Shit. They took me to a secret room. They inspected my anus. I don't know why they did this. Why did they look inside my butthole, Uncle Dan? Asked to join the Queensley Intergalactic Police Force. Shit, Uncle Dan. Shit. I told them yes. I know my mom will be pissed. Really pissed. Is Beans still alive? He'll be pissed too. But, well, Beans is always pissed. The solar system. I'm in charge of the main reactor on the starship Bishop of Regina. It's a hard job. Thankfully, I no longer have a body. My body was left behind on Earth 25 years ago. Pretty much last week to all of you. Yes. Time really shifts in deep space. It's crazy when you're traveling between galaxies at 45 times light speed, you fuck. Against the water pirates of Mordos 22 has been going on for 10 years now. Many of the Glumpic folk of Aris 6 were destroyed. Don't tell Beans. This will make him very sad. Uncle Dan, are you listening? I've seen things you wouldn't believe. Attack ships on fire off the shoulder of Orion. I watched sea beams glitter in the dark near the Tan House circuit. All those moments will be lost in time, like tears in rain. Please tell my mom I love her. I will be home for Christmas. They will download me back into my body. I will have stories of fighting pirates and virtual intercourse with the eight-legged freak women of Tolian 78. Those chicks are dirty. Don't tell my mom. Fuck. I'll see you, Uncle Dan. I'll see you soon. Too soon, perhaps. Your dearest nephew, First Princelet of our Queen's Queensly Navy and Intergalactic Police Troop. Peace out, shit.
So, yeah, that was my message from my nephew who is serving in the Intergalactic Police Force of the Overlord's truest and purest Queensly Navy. He told me of the Battle of Rombian Prime 89.3 FM on the dial. He told me that he was turned into a muto consciousness. His vibrational level is now beyond what you can imagine. His mind is now energy, and his energy is now poop. Yeah, so my nephew is serving on the, I think, the Bishop of Vagina, which is one of the Hydrolian-powered reactor ships fighting within Quadrant 7. They've been fighting against the water pirates for many, many years now. Of course, in relativistic terms, I'm referring to events in the future, events that have not occurred yet. My nephew is technically still traveling through space and time, and yet I just got a message from him about the future. That's relativity theory, folks. That's the information value of future consciousness. First topic, but before we get to our first topic, this hour This hour of Dr. Freckles Global Tontine Club Little Saigon Report here in Seattle is brought to you by StashIt.com. StashIt.com has been an investing firm for over 800 years. StashIt.com currently has a headquarters in Hungary, in Budapest, and other offices in Copenhagen, Denmark. StashIt.com is an expert in many financial products. They are the ones that brought you the 200-year moon bond. They brought you the 500-year super solar bond. They brought you the OJ bond so he could find the real killer, and it's got a smart contract on the Ethereum blockchain, you fuck. StashIt.com has a brand new product. It's a brand new product they'd like me to tell you about so I can fund this hour of the Little Saigon Report. Imagine you're riding on the Sound Transit light rail. Hey, how's it going? Oh, you work downtown too. That's interesting. Yeah. I work downtown. I kind of hate my job. Yeah, it sort of sucks. Yeah, everybody's job sucks now. That's the law. Oh yeah, that sounds interesting. Have you ever considered existential default swaps? Oh, you haven't? Well, I work for StashIt.com, but I'm also a customer. Listen, you and I can partner on one. I hold the contract on you, which means I have to pay you every month until you die. But when you die, I get a big payoff. Yeah, I know what you're thinking. Why wouldn't I just kill you? Well, 'cause that's murder. Listen, you and I can get in on a EDS or existential default swap. I can pay you roughly $500 a month, and I will get $1 million and your home when you die. That's right, I'll own your home and your children and your wife and your French... No, you can keep your French bulldog. Now, of course, you're thinking, just like that person on the train, listen, I've seen this movie. It was called Double Indemnity. Yeah, I know, but this isn't that. This is an existential default swap. This is a sound financial instrument from StashIt.com. That's spelled StashIt, StashIt with a Z. The Z is for fantastic. Please, by all means, if you believe in your future, if you believe you have a future, get with a neighbor, get with a friend, get with a brother or a sister, someone you don't like. Open up an existential default swap. Sure, you'll be paying them every month until they die. But then you get their home. all their shit. And that's how you get rich, baby. First topic. First topic for tonight's late night Seattle Little Saigon style podcast. Recently, a friend of mine, whose daughter is in her 20s, had an interview on a phone interview for a job. And the phone interview, you know, was like, hey, how's it going? How you feeling? What you doing? It wasn't really a very difficult interview from what I was told. And then they didn't really have an office nearby. So they said, why don't you have your daughter, who we've seen the picture of, meet us at the airport in Everett? And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Dan, you're too paranoid. But I gotta tell you something. When I heard about this weird job, because here's the thing, this friend's daughter actually got the job on the basis of one phone interview. It was like really good money. She was gonna do all sorts of things, even drive a forklift. It sounded like a really cool tech startup, but they didn't have any offices yet and they wanted to hire her immediately. They really couldn't tell her start date. And in addition to this, they needed to meet at the Everett Airport or something, some airport in some shadowy location. Now, when I heard this story, my first thought was white slavery. I could imagine my friend's daughter going to this meetup with her new employers at the airport. There's a Gulfstream jet there. One of her new employers sneaks up from behind with a rag doused in chloroform. She's tossed into a plastic container, and then within several hours, she's in Qatar at a slave market, or maybe at an organ mill. She's vegan. Her organs are very healthy. I don't know, maybe I'm too paranoid, because that was my first thought. You know, it's not that easy to get work these days. Just to pick up the phone and instantly get a job, and then there's some shadowy meeting at an airport. Why an airport? Why couldn't it be someplace else? I'll tell you why. Because once you've, you know, knocked out your new employee with knockout gas, you load him into your Gulfstream and you fly him to Qatar. Or Saudi Arabia. Or any number of our other necessary allies in the Persian Gulf that repeatedly rape women, yeah. Those necessary rapey allies that we have, those necessary rapey slash, you know, beheading type allies. You know, the good thing about our allies like Saudi Arabia is they do lots of torture, lots of beheadings, and lots of rape. Anyways, I don't want to stay on this topic, but I'm interested if you want to comment what you think. I thought it was really shady. The good news is she didn't go to that interview, and I'm kind of glad she didn't, but you never know. Next topic. Have you seen these new commercials for the military? These new commercials where they show some dude, like, clearing rooms in his mom's apartment, and she's saying, "I always thought you wanted to do the right thing." And he's saying, like, "Mom, I'm shooting men, women, and children. This is exactly where I need to be." And then there's another commercial with this freaking chick who's all into technology and programming. And I gotta tell you something, folks, and I don't care if I offend you. I've not met that many women who are really good at programming. I really haven't. I've met a lot of people who have been socially, you know, advanced, which is, if you go to places like Microsoft or Google or Amazon, you will meet women who are promoted socially based upon an agenda, but it has pretty much nothing to do with their ability to program a computer or their understanding of computer science, with very rare exceptions. And this isn't because women can't do it. I think it's kind of the opposite. I think that feminism has actually hobbled women. I think that the notion of having something guaranteed because you're a gender is bullshit, or the notion that you're necessarily at a disadvantage because you're a man or a woman. Frankly, men and women both get fucked. Men and women both get screwed. Historically, men and women both had their fucking issues. Anyways, these fucking commercials, so they show this hacker chick, and then it's like, "But Mom, I wanted to fight hackers." Okay, folks, I gotta tell you something. I think the word hacker has been way the fuck overused. If you're actually a white hat or black hat hacker, you must agree with this. Lots of people out there call themselves hackers. They're not. They're really, really not. They know very little about computers, very little about operating system theory, very little about actual hacking. Yeah, they can download scripts. Yeah, they can break into a computer. Lots of people can run a search script on their local wireless network. Lots of people can do things like that. Lots of people can check if some doofus has every fucking port open on their Windows 10 laptop. Or, if you're lucky, they're just running a really old version of Vista. Anywho, these commercials kind of piss me off. The messaging's fucked up. It's like they're trying to make the military into this idealistic pursuit. It is actually the opposite. It is atavistic. It is destructive. Its purpose is to destroy. When I was joining the military, this is how stupid I was. I was so fucking stupid. Really, really fucking stupid. When I took the oath in 1996 as a newly decorated fucking second lieutenant in the United States Army, I actually believed I was taking an oath to a free republic. I actually believed that our government respected the Constitution. That's how fucking stupid I was. I was in my 20s, and let's all be honest, being stupid in your 20s is not rare. But yeah, when I was in my 20s, I believed we still had kind of a free society. I didn't really dig very deep beyond what my teachers and my professors told me. I thought I was a bit of a rebel. I had no idea. I really, really had no idea how fucking conformist I was. You know what commercial I want to see from the Army? I want to see that weird commercial where the person shows up back after they've been to the wars. They show up back at home, and the mom sees them shooting up heroin. And then she asks, "Where did that come from?" And then he says, "Mom, this is what's really fun. This heroin here, this is the heroin I guarded in Afghanistan." So I'm going to shoot up the heroin, Mom. Because I got a chance to kill some men, women, and children so this heroin could get to this street, to the dude I bought it from. I know that there are people out there who are going to join the military because they think it is some grand, idealistic trip. some great adventure to save the world, but what the fuck do you think it really is? I will tell you that it has nothing to do with freedom. So if your reason for going in the military is about defending freedom, which, given the fact that most of the people I meet these days are fucking slavish and couldn't even define the word freedom or liberty, I don't know, maybe it's not about that. But if it is about freedom, no. That you made a wrong choice. You chose wrongly. We are going around the world telling people how to live. We have hundreds of military bases. Okay, of the 54 countries or 53 countries in Africa, pretty much almost all of them have a United States military base at the, you know, in the country. Yeah. And if you want to know how the Iraqis feel, listen, you may not realize this, but CNN and Fox News are kind of blocking this out. The Iraqis are almost in a state of revolt at this point, in a state of insurrection. That's how much they love what we did for them. If you think you're out there helping people, if you think you're out there doing a good deed, if you think that you're going to be sent someplace to liberate people, you're fooling yourself. You're going to be sent to places that the oil companies and the drug companies and, frankly, the rare metals and minerals companies want you to go. You're going to go fight for coltan for cell phones. You're going to go fight for oil for your car. You're going to go fight so that central banks can pump bad money into societies that are on the verge of collapse. That's what you're going to fight for. You're going to fight for the bottom line of some banker someplace. That's what you're going to do. And I'm sorry, if you want me to tell you that I think it's heroic and it's courageous, I don't. If you're choosing to go someplace knowing that you're basically in a pirate army, in a mercenary army fighting for people that don't give a fuck about you. And when you get back, you'll find that out. When you get back, when you're trying to manage your PTSD, which your father has, because good news, your father also might have fought in these stupid wars. That's how long they've been going on. And guess what? PTSD doesn't heal so great when the wound is constantly reopened. And that's kind of what a nation at war that is in a state of denial is like, a giant fucking open wound. That's what we've been since 9/11. You know why it's an open wound? You know why it's open, gaping, and bleeding, and festering? Because we never actually healed after 9/11. And do you know why we never healed? It's not that fucking complex. It's not that difficult to grok out. We never healed after 9/11 because we were never told the fucking truth. There was no way to heal. There was no way to achieve closure. There was no way to get beyond it because we were lied to. We were told a pack of lies. Our eyes, as we observed the pancaking, the symmetric implosion of two buildings in the morning and then a third building many hours later. Yeah, our eyes, those little orbs in your skull, our eyes should have told us the truth, and yet we lied to ourselves. We are an open wound because we cannot heal, and we cannot heal because we are lied to, and we lie to ourselves. So if you're going to go off and fight in these wars, you are going to come home to a society that will be deeply confused, that will treat you like shit, that will frankly be afraid of you because they do have a sense of the crap you're going to be asked to do. You will be alienated, you will be isolated. If you're lucky enough to find one or two people that give a shit, maybe. But don't come to King County, where pretty much every job you should have access to is done by a necessary H-1B visa STEM worker. Yeah, you'll really have the joy of being interviewed by someone whose cousin you might have killed several weeks earlier. No, I think you need to rethink this. I've told people this. I told my nephew this. I said, "Nephew, you're your own man, and you're not my kid. So if you want to go in the fucking Navy, that's your own fucking business. But don't have any make-believe thoughts about it. Go in there, learn what you need to learn, make a little money from the crocodile." And you know, when I say crocodile in the Little Saigon Report, I mean government. Make whatever blood money you need to make and then come home. And I pray to the Lord in heaven that you're not asked to do anything that tarnishes your soul. Because if you think the officers appointed above you take their oath seriously, that's a load of shit. Here's a little factoid. I didn't really research her age. Did you know that Tulsi Gabbard, the anti-war freak, the supposed great white hope of the Democratic Party, and I think she's being set up like that. Tulsi Gabbard took the oath after 9/11. She was born in 1981, which means she took the oath after the false flag, after we started down the road of killing millions of people for no fucking good reason. So I guess it took her a little while to learn, right? But she still has her commission today. If you are given an illegal order, this is what I was told. If you were given an illegal order, and guess what? Participating in any illegal war is by definition following an illegal order. I was told, you say no. But I guess I was trained a lot of bullshit back in the 90s. I was trained a lot of shit when Tulsi was still in middle school. I was trained a lot of shit about liberty and freedom and honor. I was told officers don't lie, cheat, or steal. Boy, did I learn that bullshit in my first year in fucking Korea. If you need to go in the military to pay for some student loans, if you need to go in the military because your whole life is shit, I understand. Go do it. Go to boot camp. Go to Ranger school. Become a pilot and fly a jet fighter until the computers take over. Go into the Queensland Navy and learn how to manage a boiling water nuclear reactor. Remember, nephew, out there in deep space, don't let your control rods melt. If you need to do this, do this. But just do it with your eyes wide open. Do it fully aware of what you're getting into. You're not defending a free republic. You're not out there fighting for freedom. You're basically operating as a thug for a bully. Okay? That's what you are. You are an enforcer. When somebody pisses us off, when somebody doesn't do what we want them to do, they get a Hellfire missile right up the ass. So if you're gonna like say, "Oh, I love flying drones," and I haven't seen this commercial yet. I think there's a reason for it. The one commercial I haven't seen yet is the gamer dude or the gamer babe, you know, "Oh, you know how much I love flying drones. You know how much I love playing video games, Mom. You know I've always wanted to fly drones and play video games for the Air Force." I think the reason why they didn't do that commercial yet, the one that shows the kid who is in, you know, civilians flying a drone and then immediately flying a drone killing people, is because it's a little too close to the truth. It's a little too close. You can show the girl saying, "I want girl power to find hackers." You can show the Mexican or quasi-Latino boy, "Oh, I want to clear this room for freedom." But you really can't show the drone guy tearing up a family or a wedding. You can't really do that, can you? That mechanical distance, as strange as it is too close. Even though that's counterintuitive, that's what it is. Next topic, last topic. I wrote a story many, many years ago. I probably should rewrite it several times. I will post a link in this podcast on the little description blurb to the story. It's not a novel. It's, you know, kind of like it's a short story. I think it's around 15,000 words, but don't quote me on that. And the name of the story is Morny Drek. Morny Drek is also the name of the main character in the story. And the story itself is kind of a meditation on a number of subjects, but one of them is this concept of post-scarcity. This idea that we will arrive in a future one day where everything will cost almost nothing. Hey, I'd like a French fry. Can I get a double cheeseburger? Oh, fuck. We can only eat the make-believe meat now. Okay, I'll take the impossible double cheese. Yeah, I'll take one of those vegan super shakes, too. What do I owe you? What? I don't owe you any money. Wow, this is great. Thank you for the food. You have a great day too. If you're a crypto freak, if you're a Bitcoin freak, if you're one of these folks out there that thinks you're going to be riding your electric fucking unicycle on day zero, trading your cryptos, and if you're one of those people that believes this, the story Morny Drek is partially about you. And in some ways, it's a different vision that you can compare to that movie Idiocracy. You see, I don't think Idiocracy is feasible. Or another way of putting it, if Idiocracy is the road we're on, we're not going to make it until 2505. I'm sorry. We're not going to make it 500 fucking years. Are you fucking kidding me? The level of competence right now is so shitty that I just expect the first boiling water reactor east of the Mississippi to cook off pretty soon. That's how much I have faith in the competence of the average American at this point. Morny Drek is about a future where the grayness, and it's sometimes what I call it, the eternal grayness of this economic, financially repressive central bank bullshit continues for hundreds of years. And in part because of a discovery. Well, two discoveries. One, free energy. And two, the ability to create synthetic matter. If you combine those two things together, all of a sudden, you can make just about anything for almost nothing. Now, of course, in this future, there are a few things that still cost something. But pretty much almost everything is worthless. In fact, the basic storyline is so strange, so fucked up, so a la central bank sometime in the year 2400. The storyline is so fucked up that one of the ways that the future deals with excess wealth is to create synthetic gold and then launch the gold into a black hole. Yeah, I know that doesn't make any sense. But if you think about what the Federal Reserve is doing right now, especially with repo operations. Hello, this is the central bank repo desk. How may I help you? Oh, you're Bank of America. Please hold. Hello, this is the central bank repo desk. How may I help you? Oh, Goldman Sachs. What would you like? You want 50 billion? What do you have to trade? Oh, a muni bond from Alabama that's about to default. Oh, and a mortgage-backed security from that swamp project on Kamano Island. Yeah, the one where the people got sick and died. These repo operations are essentially central bank operations whereby they take things that are probably worthless. mortgage-backed securities that are rated at B plus that are probably F minus, meaning junk. Municipal bonds that will never be repaid. Other types of Drek and vampire tontine loans and Borlean swamp oaths. And the banks take these various things that are quote-unquote assets, and when I say assets, I'm using sarcastic quotes that are 70,000 feet high. Very sarcastic. They take these assets to the repo desk and say, Mr. Federal Reserve, Mr. Federal Reserve, will you give me $50 billion for this collateral? Of course, Powell, the Federal Reserve Chair Powell, is going to restart QE. They're not calling it QE, but for all intents and purposes, they're going to start to buy mortgage-backed securities and other redeemable assets, about $60 billion worth, every month now. And if Dr. Mark Faber is correct, and he often is, even if late, Dr. Mark Faber, the true Dr. Doom, he predicted, I think, in 2013 that the next time the Fed restarted QE, that they would go to $1 trillion U.S. dollars a month. So here's my prediction, folks. My prediction is sometime in the first quarter, maybe the second quarter of 2020, Powell will print the first $1 trillion of QE in a month. That trillion will be roughly equal to the GDP of the U.S. at that point on a monthly basis. He will thereby double the GDP in an instantaneous moment of bullshit. Morny Drek was a story about a future where there isn't a collapse, or at least not one that ends everything. There isn't some massive Little Greta the Witch Hunter climate change disaster. We just keep fucking along in the same way. We discover free energy. We discover essentially free everything. And we just keep fucking along. The same bullshit. The same screw your neighbor bullshit, but just in a, you know, post-scarcity world. Now you would think, Dan, wouldn't these technologies liberate people? Well, fuck, that reminds me of a conversation I had with someone about the internet in the 90s. Before I ever got into technology, yeah, before I ever even went down that fucking road, I remember telling people that every tool can be used for anything. It can be used for good, it can be used for bad. And this one dude said, no, 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 Dan, the internet's different, it's pure good. Oh, let me let you know a little secret, folks. 15 seconds after, you know, Gutenberg printed his first Bible, he printed his first Penthouse Forum letter. The most popular books by category in France before the revolution in 1789 was what? Ding, ding, ding. Pornography. If you're going to sell me on this argument that there's tools that are inherently good or bad, that's bullshit. Tools are tools. People are good or bad. People can be dirtbags. People can be wonderful. But tools are essentially just tools. Like Bitcoin. Bitcoin, if it works, is a tool. Okay? It's not something else. It's a tool. If it works, I'll use it. If it's shit, I won't. I'm not asking you to read Morny Drek. I will put a link in PDF and to Amazon. If you read it off of Amazon and you're part of their Kindle program, you might not have to pay for it there either. Full disclosure, you'll probably find some spelling mistakes. You'll probably find some grammatical errors. As a writer, I have a long ways to go, and I really can't afford to hire proofreaders. But yeah, Morny Drek is a different look at the future. It's as if you took the lives we live now and you simply extended it out 300 years. A nasty, gray nothing. A fucking pathetic, mediocre, slow walk to hell. That's Morny Drek. Last but not least, as you all well know or may be aware, I'm trying to, you know, beg for money. I'm currently between contracts, but I have resources that will take me into the spring. And as a hobo philosopher, I know that being able to make it to the spring is essentially, well, it's a hobo miracle. So currently I am not in need of money right now, but I will be. So if you're a listener, if you have the resources, if there is no one else in your life that needs more help than me, if all of those things are true and you enjoy my podcast, then feel free to click on that Venmo link on my SoundCloud homepage, or click on the Venmo link I will put into the fucking blurb for this podcast on SoundCloud. You don't have to pay, you know? You can do word of mouth. You can fucking take one of those weird ass fucking posters I created at votefreckles.com, one with I Am Sully on it, and take one of those and print it out and hand it out. There's lots of ways you can help. You don't have to give me money. But if you have the money, if you're currently flying in a hyperspace craft somewhere near Tremulac 7, if you're currently flying in a hyperspace craft and you just finished off your Zomborian wine, you're getting ready to have 14-way sex with the various purple and green women of Hades 72. You know you have lots of gold and silver. You synthesized it yesterday. And you love my podcast. Of course, you're listening to me sometime in the year 2782. My podcast has been traveling through space for hundreds of years. If you enjoy my podcast, Space Traveler of the Future, you can create a time tunnel. You can travel backwards in time. You can trade your gold and silver for that wonderful greenback that's worth shit. And then you can take that money, open an account, go through the Know Your Customer laws. And if you don't go crazy, you can give me money too, Space Cowboy. And what I'm telling you explicitly is if you're out there in space traveling at hyperlight speed, and you happen to need to refuel your spacecraft on Zartron 7 special fuel, and you happen to see my nephew, he will be disembodied. He'll be in a robot suit. He'll be part of the Queensley Navy, the Bishop or the Duke of Vagina. If you see him, say hello. Tell him his uncle loves him. Tell him his mom misses him. Tell him Beans is a son of a bitch. And tell him that we can't wait till he gets home.